I've got a few announcements this morning, so I'm just going to jump right in. Many of you know, probably most of you, that last week Carolina Conrad fell after she was got home. She had left church and was getting ready to walk inside and had a very, very bad fall. The good news is that she has surprised all of us. And 1 week later, she is already in rehab. She is sitting up. She's walking. She's doing her therapy. She's doing really, really well. Her hope is that she can be home by Christmas, and we pray that that happens. For the next few days, she's on COVID quarantine in her room, but she can have visitors, up to two at a time, and it would really encourage her if any of y'all had time to stop in, to check on her, to visit with her. It would also mean a lot to Paul if anyone wanted to stop by the house and visit. A couple days this week, Robin Beck has stopped in and watched Gunsmoke and Bonanza with him. So if any of y'all have the time and want to go visit either one of them, Carolina is at Abbott's Creek. They are also grateful for the meals that folks have been providing for Paul. If before you take over a meal, you'd reach out to Pam or to Jane. They've had quite a bit of food, and although Paul is working on learning how to use the microwave, he's not quite there yet. So if you would just check in with them before taking them a meal. He's working on learning how to reheat it, because as they say, their mother has spoiled him. I want to thank you for all of your thoughts and prayers for me. I am doing better and have been overwhelmed with the love and graciousness and prayers that all of you have offered on my behalf. So thank you for that. Each week during Advent, we are having our Wednesday night services. And I know that it's hard to get out on a weeknight, but from 6:30 to 7 each Wednesday, we are having our Advent services. So please feel free to come and join us for midweek worship. We have our angel tree back. I know some of you have already grabbed cards. Tina is the liaison this year. Tina, you want to say a few things about it? Okay.
And if you'll just put that tag back on the top of the bag, we'll know which child to give it to. But I told them Holly Grove is a wonderful place, and that if there's a need, we'll fulfill it. And I know we will. So thank you.
Yes. There are a lot of people struggling this holiday season, and I think I can speak for us that it is our joy and it is a gift to us to be able to provide and care for others in our community. We have a few birthdays this week. Susan Lohr actually has a birthday today. I think I saw Susan.
Happy birthday, Susan.
There you are. You're at the front today. Happy birthday, Susan. Glenna Garner, Nicole Mize, and Maddie Lohr Pope. So happy birthday. And anniversaries this week, Brandon and Brandy Conrad. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prayer. Oh.
Agape is going to be Christmas caroling next Sunday at 2.
Okay.
Get that in the bulletin.
Okay, Kim wants to make the announcement that next Sunday the Agape Circle will do some Christmas caroling at 2:00.
We'll meet here.
So we'll meet here and then venture out to do some Christmas caroling 2:00 next Sunday. And I forgot that we have two prayer shawls here. One is for Mo Richardson, Libby Carrick's brother-in-law, and he has been moved to hospice care. So we've got a prayer shawl for Mo, and for Janine and Frank Hamilton's grandson, Mitchell, who has had another surgery for his jaw. Bless his heart. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that when we come to you in prayer, that you are waiting for us and that you hear us. You hear the things that we say verbally with our words, and you hear what remains unspoken in our minds and our hearts. We lift up to you today both Mo and Mitchell, who have many, many hard days ahead of them. We ask that you would provide them strength for the days ahead, that you would give them comfort and your peace. We ask that you would bless these prayer shawls so that as they feel the weight of these prayer shawls upon their body, that their hearts and minds would feel the weight of our love and prayers here at Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now continue the work of worship as we prepare our hearts for worship, as we listen to the prelude. We actually do this during the opening hymn, Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly and fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God, for whom we wait, in the presence of one another, we confess our sin before you. We fail in believing that your good news is for us. We falter in our call to tend your creation. We find our sense of self in material wealth. We fear those different from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us, Blessed One, and assure us again of your saving grace. Amen. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High, inheritors of the eternal promise, and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, holy Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all the people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And I'd like to invite the children forward to help with the lighting of the Advent wreath. You want to have a seat? Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming up. Your mom made you? Well, still, thanks for coming up anyway. What did you say?
Light.
What about light? It's pretty? Well, Advent is a season of light. And so I thought this morning that we could talk a little bit about Advent, that we could talk about the Advent wreath. Do you know what the season of Advent means? Calvin? It's the month of Jesus' birth. Yeah, for four Sundays before Christmas, we have the season of Advent. So just like in our calendar where we have fall and winter and spring and summer, the church has a calendar with different seasons. And the very first season of our church year is Advent. And it starts the fourth Sunday before Christmas. And so that's why there are four candles on the Advent wreath, one for each Sunday before Christmas. One of the other things that happens in Advent is the days get shorter. Have you realized that it gets darker earlier and earlier and earlier? And so usually around December 20th, 21st, it's the longest day of the whole year. The sun sets the earliest that it does all year. And it's often called the longest night of the year. And so as the days are getting shorter, as the darkness is increasing, the light on our Advent wreath is increasing because the coming of Jesus, who is the light of the world, gets closer. And so last week, how many of you were able to come and make an Advent wreath? I think I saw you there, Calvin. You were wearing an Advent wreath on your head. it's not too late to start an Advent wreath, and so I wanted to offer some of this supplies to you and to anyone else in the congregation who would like to have an Advent wreath. What it starts out with is this candle holder, so there is a place for four candles, and you put a circle of evergreens around it. Does anyone know what a circle represents or why we have it as a circle? The circle of eternal life. God's love for us never ends. There's no beginning and there's no end. And we often use evergreens or hollies to put around this because those are two trees that even in winter, when not many things are blooming, they still have life, representing that even in dark times and even in seasons where there's not a lot of blooming, we still have new life in God. So does anyone want to start with an Advent wreath today if you didn't get to start last Sunday? Do you guys have one of these at home? I know some folks have saved these. Do you have some at home? You think you do? Okay, well then what I'm just going to do is give you the candles for this year. So the candles in here match the candles on our Advent wreath. And there's a different color candle this year than we've had in the past. The pink one. Every year, the third Sunday of Advent, which will be next Sunday, is Gaudete Sunday, which means joy. And even in the midst of our waiting and in the midst of our preparing for Jesus to come, there is joy. And so that's what that purple candle represents. So you guys have your candles. That's for you guys. For you guys. Would you like one, Natty? Okay. I have some materials to give you as well. These are Advent calendars, the kind where you tear open a day. Behind each day is a little, you have one? Is a little prayer that you can pray. And I have these devotions. They're called Naming Jesus. So each week as you're lighting your Advent calendar, or as you're lighting your Advent wreath, it has different things you can look up to learn about the different names of Jesus and why he has these different names. You have one of those. That's for you. Okay, so for all of you, if you would like to have an Advent wreath, it's not too late. We've got all the materials, so after worship, please see me for that. We also have devotionals for you all that look at the different things that we do each Advent as we're preparing for Christmas and why we do it and how it can help enrich our preparation for the coming of Christ. Because everything we do in church has a meaning. There is some reason why we do it. It teaches us something. It reveals to us something about God. And so what the Advent wreath does for us is it reminds us that, one, Jesus is the light of the world, and that even in dark times, the light of Jesus grows in the world around us and within us, and that Jesus lights up our darkness, and that even though things can seem hard and dark, the light of Christ is always there, and Jesus always, always comes to us. Do any of you all have any questions about Advent or the Advent wreath? Calvin? How did Jesus get his name? That's a really good question. Jesus is kind of an interesting name. There is a meaning, actually. Does anyone know the answer to that, or you want me to? So there are lots of names for Jesus, which you're going to read about in your devotion, but the name Jesus actually means God saves. In Hebrew, Jesus' name is said this way, Yeshua, which kind of sounds like Joshua, Yeshua, and it means that God saves. Jesus came to save the whole world, to save us, and so when we say his name, we're saying that God saves. That's true. His name means a lot of things. And he has a lot of different names. Like one of the names that we talk a lot about in Advent and at Christmas is Emmanuel. Anybody remember what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. So at Christmas time, when Jesus is born as a baby in the manger, we remember that God came to be with us as one of us, as a little tiny baby, and that God is always with us. So I want you to read through that devotional and learn some more of the names of Jesus. And if you have any questions, you can ask me. But there are a lot of names for Jesus in the Bible. But Jesus means that God saves. Good question. Well, let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for Advent. Sometimes it can be hard to wait, especially for Christmas. But help us to prepare our hearts for the birth of Jesus. May our lives be a light for Jesus in the world. Amen. Thank you for coming up, everybody. You can go back to your seats. And Conrad, will you go get the candle lighter and help me light the Advent wreath? Because of war, because of violence in our world and in our communities, because there is still so much unrest in our hearts, we light a candle of peace. Because hatred is still so strong, because so many swords have not yet been beaten into plowshares, we light a candle of peace. May the light from this candle overwhelm the world. May the light from this candle say to all God's people that peace is coming on earth as it already is in heaven. Friends, be not afraid. God's peace is at hand.
The first reading is from Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of the Lord. Our psalm is from Luke 1. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel.
You have come to your people and set them free.
You have raised up for us a mighty Savior.
Born of the house of your servant David.
Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies. To show mercy to our forebears. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham.
To set us free from the hands of our enemies.
Free to worship you without fear.
Holy and
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High.
For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way,
to give God's people knowledge of salvation,
by the forgiveness of their sins,
in the tender compassion of our God,
the dawn of our own eyes shall break upon us,
to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death,
and to guide our feet.
The second reading is from Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how long for all of you will the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Advent is a season of preparation. In our homes, many of us are preparing by putting up our Christmas decorations. And if you're like me, I don't know why, but every time I move and rearrange things, I find the need to clean just a little bit deeper and add a little bit more work for myself. But we're preparing by decorating. We're putting up our tree and trimming it with lights and ornaments. We're baking or starting to think about baking. We're sending out cards, we're wrapping presents. We're getting ready for Christmas, which as of today is 20 days away. It never ceases to amaze me how fast Advent goes by. And in the midst of our Advent busyness comes John the Baptist. Every year, on the second Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist enters the scene. This year, we're lucky enough to get to hear from him the second and third Sundays of Advent. But why does he appear during Advent? Did the people who put together the lectionary not realize that this is Advent and not Lent? This seems like much more of a Lenten scripture passage for us to hear. I think Lent would be a better place for the call to God's repentance. But let's look again, and maybe a little bit deeper. Because the truth is that Advent, like Lent, is a season of waiting and preparation. And although what we are waiting and preparing for is different, the work of waiting and preparing our hearts is still the same. Just like we can't skip over Good Friday and jump right to Easter, we can't skip over Advent and jump right to Christmas. Just as John the Baptist calls the Israelites to prepare for Jesus to come among them, Advent calls the church to prepare for Jesus to come among us. Lutheran pastor Brian Stoffregen says this: "Perhaps if we want to properly prepare for the coming of Jesus, rather than looking in the manger, we need to listen to John." I think that's easier said than done. John the Baptist can be kind of hard to listen to. Not only does he have an interesting wardrobe and diet, his message can come across as really harsh. If we were to read one more verse beyond the passage today, which we will read next Sunday, John says to the crowd that came to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Whew, we just don't quite know what to make of John the Baptist, any time of the year really, but especially in Advent. And yet, Jesus says that John is one of the greatest prophets. I think it's important to remember that the role of prophets in Scripture and in the world today isn't to warn people about a doomsday or predict the future. Prophets were and are truth tellers. And here John the Baptist is telling the people the truth that they need to change their ways to prepare for the coming of Christ. He's telling them that they need to repent. We've got our own vocabulary in the church, don't we? And repentance is one of those words that we really don't use outside the church. Maybe in our homes once in a while, but it's one of those really churchy words that we really only use here. It's one of those words that is hard to define and describe. We kind of know what it means. It's sort of one of those things where if we were to have a test, we might be able to pick out the right answer if we had multiple choice. But if we had to do a little essay about it or write out the answer, it would be a little bit harder. Repentance is not an apology, although that's part of it, but it's only part of it. If all we do is say, "I'm sorry," then we've not repented. Repentance is acknowledging that what we are doing or saying or not doing or not saying is not God's intention for our lives and our relationships. So once we've acknowledged that we are not living out God's desire for us, we apologize to God and probably others, but then we do different. There must be a change of attitude or behavior for repentance. Last week, between Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday, My inbox and social media accounts were bombarded with ads. One of the companies that I got several emails from was a company called Old Lutheran. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with this company, but they make and sell all sorts of Lutheran products. T-shirts, coffee, pot holders, bags, anything with the Luther Rose on it that you can imagine, including for Christmas wrapping paper. But anyway, I got a few ads from Old Lutheran, and one of them was a picture of a T-shirt that said Metanoia on it. And it caught my eye because, one, how often do you see a T-shirt with a Greek word on it? Never. And two, metanoia is the Greek word for repentance in today's gospel lesson. It was kind of amazing that the word that talks about repentance today was on a T-shirt in my inbox. So the T-shirt had metanoia spelled out at the top, and then it had two definitions under it. The two definitions are, one, the journey of changing one's mind, heart, self, or way of life, and two, the act of reforming or becoming new. These are really good ways to think about, to define and describe repentance. So I'm going to repeat them again because I do think they're very helpful. Repentance is the journey of changing one's heart and mind and self and way of life, and the act of reforming and becoming new. Old Lutheran writes on their website that metanoia, repentance, the becoming new, begins at baptism and happens the whole rest of our lives. When we are baptized, we are buried with Christ. We die to sin and death and ourselves, and we are raised to new life in Christ. And this new life that we are raised to is a journey of metanoia, of repentance, of changing our hearts and our minds, our lives and ourselves, of becoming new our whole lives long. All of us, every single one of us, every single human is created in the image of God. But we spend our whole lives long growing more and more into the likeness of God. This is what our journey of faith is, of becoming more and more like Jesus, so that our lives reflect his life, so that what we say and do looks like what Jesus would say and do. This is the journey of becoming new, of changing our hearts and our minds, ourselves, and our way of life. Repentance is hard. It's faithful work, but it is hard work because it's more than just saying, I'm sorry. It's receiving God's mercy and forgiveness and then allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and our minds so that Christ can be born within us. Every heart is called to prepare room for Christ during this season of Advent. And the way we do that is through repentance, through becoming new, through changing our hearts and our minds, our lives, and our very selves. So in the midst of all of our preparations, don't forget to take time for repentance. Don't forget John's call to become new. Advent is a season of preparation. John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord by proclaiming a message of repentance. And we are called to prepare for the coming of Jesus, both as an infant in a manger and the one who will come again in glory, with repentance, by changing our hearts and our minds, our lives, and our very selves. By dying to sin and by being made new. Come and remind yourself of your baptism, that in Christ we have new life, that we are forgiven in the waters of baptism, the waters that lead us to the table where we receive the very presence of Christ within us, who alone enables us and empowers us for the hard and faithful work of repentance. Come, be fed and nourished so that we can prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.
Living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. You send messengers into the world to proclaim the day of your coming. Make our bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay preachers confident in their preaching, that their words and our lives witness to your grace. Hear us, O God. Send your Spirit to all living creatures that are endangered. Provide them with shelter and care, and bring us into right relationship with the earth that you create and call good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Send leaders to our nations, cities, schools, and businesses to work on behalf of those who have lost parents, spouses, and loved ones, immigrants, the imprisoned, those living in poverty, and all who are oppressed. Make them bold in their commitments to justice and reconciliation. Hear us, O God. Send your servants to care for those who suffer. Use our ministries and our lives to reach out with compassion to those who are hungry, oppressed, lonely, or ill, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Duty, John, Wilson, Karen, Bobby, Mike, Carolina, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud either on our lips or silently in our hearts. Grant them all your healing and wholeness. Hear us, O God. Send prophets to speak difficult truths, even when they are poorly received. Embolden those who ask hard questions and challenge accepted ways. Instill in youth and elders alike a passion for pointing to Jesus in all things. Hear us, O God. We remember your saints, both those publicly celebrated and those more humbly remembered, confident that your work will be completed. We live in faith until the day of your coming. Hear us, O God.
God of new life, you come among us in the places we least expect. Receive these prayers and those of our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you. Okay, do you want to go get the offering plates?
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our hearts and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way before us as we meet you in this simple meal. Through Jesus Christ, our pathway and our peace. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promises to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people and fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to Christ's banquet. Feast on God's gift of grace. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Most High God, you have come among us at this table. By the Spirit's power, form us to be bearers of your word, sharing gifts of mercy and grace with all, through Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen.
The God of all hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus, for whom we wait. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship, Christian education, and respond in loving action.